I'd like to first off thank God this morning, this evening, for saving my soul. Undeserving, and feel undeserving to be up here standing before Him. But like I said in times past, this ain't what Tyler wants. This is what the Lord wants, and He'll get His way one way or another. And just got to follow Him and do what's right by Him. And I think that everything will turn out just right, you know, like it's supposed to. I'd like to thank the church tonight for giving me an appointment here. It's hard to get appointments anymore with all this virus going on and the churches not being in session. We pray for those. I pray for those churches and hope that they can get back before too long. They need God, and they need the Bible, and they need to hear, you know, what to do. And for these youngins to be in church, we pray that these youngins that ain't getting to come to church because of all this, something to strike upon them and lead them back in the house of God. That's where they need to be. I desire your prayer tonight. Still get nervous as a cat before I get up here. Ain't nothing's changed from the first night I started preaching till now. And I know the only way I can do anything is through Him and what He gives me. And this ain't nothing Tyler wants to do. Like I said, this is what the good Lord wants. And is there anything on anyone's heart just tonight before we go to the Lord in prayer? I've said in times past, this ain't Tyler's service at all. This is the Lord's service. And you follow the Lord. And no matter if I'm up here talking or not, if you've got something on your heart, you do. Because it's for somebody here. I believe that with all my heart. So is there anything on anyone's heart before we read some scripture tonight? If you would turn to Joshua chapter 24. And at the beginning of Joshua, it's where Moses dies. And here we get to the part where Joshua is in his last days, and he's about to give his last speech to the people there. And it says in chapter 24, or verse 24, chapter 24, first verse. And Joshua gathered them all into the tribe of Israel, and Shem called to the elders of Israel, and their heads, and their judges, and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto them, all the people that thus say the Lord, the God of Israel, your father dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah and the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and I led throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And ye came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after you, your fathers, and with chariots and horsemen, unto the Red Sea. And they cried unto the Lord. He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and dwelt in the wilderness a long season, 40 years. And I brought unto you the land of Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave unto them your hand, and they might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arise and warned against Israel, and sent and called Balaam to the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over to Jordan, and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered unto your hand. pardon me for my mispronunciation on the names there, but and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out before even two kings of Amorites, which not thy sword nor thy bow. And I gave unto you the land which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and ye dwell in them, and vineyards and olive yards which ye planted or not do eat. And what he's saying here, I believe Joshua is speaking for the Lord here. He's speaking for what the Lord had done for all these many people, and what he had done over the time, and where he had brought them out of different situations, and what they was doing, and he letting them know here that they did nothing of that, that he was the one who gave them what they had. He's the one who gave them everything that they had. He's trying to remind them here who they were, and don't forget what God has given you. And the mercy that he shows upon us daily that we don't think about, and not only do we go through life, and I say this for myself, I'll be out and think I've done something or that I've accomplished something, but it's only through God that I got to where I am. It's only through God that I've got the health to get up and do what I've done. He could take it away just as quick as he give it to me. I could wake up one morning and couldn't get out of bed for a month, and what would I do then? You know, what would we all do? It's the health that good Lord gives us. It's the drive that he gives us. And it's what we do with it after he gives it to us. We have to follow him and trust in him, not to do what other people in past times have done. It says in the Bible here, like we were talking about in Bible study this morning, about how the 12 tribes of Israel was going into the promised land there, and 10 of them said that they didn't think that they could do it. You know, but two of them knew they could do it. Two of them knew they could do it. But see, that's the faith that they didn't have. They didn't know. They thought that they there's no way we can beat these people. There's no way we can defeat these giants that are down there. But they had to have the faith that God would pull them through, just like we have to do in life today. It's nothing that we do. It's what God does for us. He gives us our house. He gives us our cars. Whatever we give, he gives it to us. Yes, we do the work down here, but we have to have the faith in him and the trust in him to know that he's going to get us through it. I believe that there's not a thing in this world we can do by ourselves. And whenever you start to doing things by yourself, you're going to be in big trouble. I think if you're going to have to make a decision in this life, you need God. If you're going to do anything in this life, you need God first. You need to ask God what he wants you to do, and not what you want to do or what you think's right or what the world thinks right. It's what God needs you to do. And pray to him and ask him. He'll give you an answer. I believe with all my heart. He's helped me so many times throughout my life where I've been in so many dark situations. It says there is no darkness in God. And when we're in darkness, it's because of ourselves. It's because of what we do. God has no darkness in him. He's all light. And if we're in darkness, we don't have God in us right then. We've got to have the know and the ability to comprehend what we want to believe in God. And we pray that it says here that now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods of which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve your Lord. And if you seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of Amorites, whose land we dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I think about that today. I got that little saying in my kitchen there. That's kind of a word a lot of people like to see, and it's flashy, and you can put it up in your house and look at it, but unless you're doing it, it don't do no good. Unless you're actually serving the Lord and thanking him for what you got and thanking him for everything that he does for you, what good is looking good to everybody else? What's good to please the world whenever the only one that you need to be pleasing is the good Lord? There is no There is nobody down here that can get you to heaven. There is nobody down here that can do for you what the Lord can do for you. You may not see it in your time or what you want it to be, but it'll happen. One way or another, the good Lord will get you what you need. He won't do no more than you can't handle. And I believe that with all my heart. And it says here in the 16th verse, and the people answered and said, God forbid we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He is in that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the land Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will serve the Lord, for He is our God. They're telling Joshua here that they will serve the Lord, that they will do what He says. And we know that. When you ask today, how do you serve the Lord? And it made me think of over here in Romans. Back here in Romans, with just a couple verses back here. Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you, Paul says here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, and ye be proved what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it don't say anything about serving other gods or what the world wants. It says right here, be not conformed to the world. Don't let the world tell you what's right and wrong. Don't let these people on TV tell you that being gay is right. Don't let these people tell you that using God's name in vain, every other word they say is right, because it ain't. None of this stuff is right. What the world is doing today, it's on TV nonstop for these kids to see. It's all over the news. It's everywhere you look at. Everything you do anymore, we're in the wrong. Everything we believe is wrong. Everything the Bible says is wrong. They would get away with it. They would throw this thing away right now if they could. But I thank God that we live in a part of the country that we can come and gather here and serve God. And it's illegal. And we're not having to hide. And we're not having to hide what we do and hide our love for God. But we can let everybody know. You got a freedom of religion. But don't let that fool you. They'll take it away just as quick as they can from us. And no matter what, we have to follow God. We have to be behind Him 100%. No matter if they come here and tell us we can't, we do it no matter what. We tell them we are standing for the Lord, because if we turn our backs on the Lord, He'll turn our backs on us. He'll turn His back on us. And I just cannot imagine what this world's going to be like when He does finally get turn His back on us. What's it going to be like? Whenever He said, I've had enough. What's it going to be like? And it might be right here, right on us. We don't know. But it says here, and it goes down, and Josh was telling here, he wrote the law on the stone here and gave him the covenant. And over on in Judges, it tells about Judges chapter 2. And it says, when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he had did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him on the border of his inheritance in Timothy's, in the Mount of Empires, in the north side of the hill of Gash. And also, all the generations were gathered unto the fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew the Lord not, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsake the Lord and their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were around them and about them, and borrowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and forsake the Lord, and served Baal. Why did they serve Baal? Why did they do this? Because they quit telling about what God had done for them. They quit telling their kids about what they had experienced or what they had seen God do. The Lord here come on earth and He did so many wonderful things. And just for a couple more generations, it didn't take very long for them to forget about Him. Forget what He done for them. Forget all the things that He had been doing all these years and trying to keep them safe. And they turned their backs on Him and went right back to the ways of before the flood. Went just right back to the ways of today and what's going on today in the world. We forgot about God. Everybody on the outside skirts have forgot about God. Just a few people that come to church and around here believe in the right ways anymore, seems like. And they're getting into our territory here, you know. They come in and they putting their beliefs on these kids and impressionable kids and it ain't right. And I pray that we can have the strength. We can have the strength to stand up to Him and let Him know what we have and let Him know what He done for us and don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of what God has done for you. Don't be ashamed of what people might say or do. They're gonna lead your kids and their kids to hell and you gotta stand up for it. We have a responsibility as adults now, as children of God, to tell people what He done for us. And I know that sometimes it may be hard in this world. It may be tough for some people to, cause somebody come up to you and you say, where do you stand with the Lord? But let me tell you, brother, it's a blessed feeling whenever you can talk to somebody and they don't have a thing in the world to know about it, and they call you a few years later and tell you, I thank you for what you asked me. I thank you for what you told me, because I've changed my life. I've been saved. And you know, I've been in some bad situations in my life, but I wouldn't change them for a thing. I wouldn't change them for a thing because of the things that happened in those times. There was a man in Florida one time that I was down there. And we was in a little meeting there and we was telling about, you know, whether we believed in what we believed in. They said you could believe in a doorknob for all you wanted to. But I stood up and I told everybody there that what God had done for me. I heard snickers. I heard laughs. I heard people tell me I was crazy. But I know what I have. I know what the good Lord gave me. I know what they don't have. I know that they got the devil in their heart. They got the devil all over them. They don't have us. They never had the raising that we had. They never had the God-fearing preachers down there to tell them what they had in their hearts. And the man, made me about tear up a couple of weeks ago. He texted me and told me I was 22-year-old whenever he told me. He said he was 50-something-year-old. He said, whenever you told me that, I've really been praying about it. He said, and Lord saved my soul here a couple of years ago. And boy, that made me feel good to know that maybe something I said or done. I'm a nobody. I'm absolutely nobody down here. I could die tomorrow and nobody in this world would care other than my family. But guess what I knew I got? I got salvation. I know where I'm going when I die. And I ain't got a doubt in my mind about it. I know exactly what He done for me, where it was, what time it was. I don't know what date. I can't tell you what day of the week it was. But I know when it was and I know what happened. I know whenever I was in conviction, out from 7-year-old to 18-year-old, I let it in on me. I let it in on me for years. And whenever I finally had to give it all up, there wasn't no other choice. There wasn't no right or left or turn. There wasn't no straight. There wasn't no backwards. It was either me or the Lord, and it was me and Him, and there was nothing else I could do besides give it up. I had to give it up. And that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. If you're here lost, I beg you, don't wait. Don't do what these people did. Lord, give them a told them what was going to happen. He told them that this was going to happen. He said, take heed. In the 23rd chapter, 11 verse here, He said, take heed therefore yourself and love you, Lord, you God. Else if you do any otherwise, go back, cleave unto the remnants of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall marriage with them. And go unto them, and they unto you. And for a certainty, and they... go back to the 13th there. Know for a certainty that your Lord God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snare and traps unto you, scourges into your sides, thorns into your eyes, until ye perish from this land, off this good land which the Lord has given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of the earth, and ye in all your hearts and all your souls, that one thing hath failed of the good things. Not one thing of the good things hath failed which the Lord has spoke concerning you. All have come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Thereof it shall come to pass that all good things are come upon you which the Lord God promised you. So shall the Lord bring upon you evil things, until He have destroyed you off the face of this good land which the Lord hath given you. Listen here. Then, when we have transgressed the covenant of the Lord God which He commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourself to them, and then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. And you shall perish quickly off the face of the land which He hath given you. He told them what was going to happen. He told them exactly what was going to happen if their great grandchildren turned against Him. He told them it right here in the chapter before what His last speech was, and they didn't listen. They didn't take the heed of the Lord. They didn't trust in the Lord like we ought to today. And I beg you here today, if you're hearing law, give everything up. Be willing to die that night. If the Lord was willing to come here and die on the cross for us and for our sins and go through all that torment that night, He never sinned a time in this world. He never sinned one time while He was down here. What makes us think we couldn't die for Him? What makes us think that we couldn't give ourselves to Him and for just to be saved, just to have a chance to be saved? I would just want a chance. He's giving you a chance. He's giving you one chance to be here tonight. He's giving you a chance to wake up this morning. Who's to say tomorrow's going to come? Who's to say we're going to be here tomorrow? Nobody. He's got control. He's got the power. And He's the only way to do anything. We don't have a choice. We ain't got a choice in this world what we do but to serve Him. And I pray that you do. I pray that you, if you're hearing lost, you do something about it. My message may have been scattered from here to yonder, but I thank the Lord for what He gave me, the pure salvation that I have in my soul that nobody can take away from me. Not one person can beat me hard enough to take that salvation away from me. And there ain't nothing I can do. He'll scold me. He'll bring me down to my knees whenever I do bad. And He will. You don't just think you're going to get out of this world and do whatever you want to, because you can't. You can't just go around here hurting people, killing people, shooting people, whatever this world's doing, and think you're going to get away with it. If you're a child of God and you know what's right and wrong, you know the law, you know what you're supposed to do. If you're a child of God, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you know how you're supposed to live. And you've been told, you know, you've got enough common sense. You've been saved. You've got enough common sense to know what's right and wrong. I pray that you tell your kids about it. You let your kids, you bring your kids to church. You tell your grandkids to come to church. You bring them all, because we ain't got much more time. I'm here to tell you. And I pray for these kids, and I hope they get to live their whole lives. But I don't know if they will. I don't know if I will. I don't know if we will. All of us here tonight tonight could be it. But let me tell you something. Don't worry about me. I'll be up in the sky. I'll be floating on home. I won't be worried about it a bit. But whenever those graves start busting open, and it's too late. It's too late. You ain't got another choice. The devil's coming, and he's going to take you. And I don't think you realize what eternal damnation is. In hell forever. You know, you don't have another chance. You're down there burning. You feel everything you feel. Right now, like you're sitting, you'll feel it all. Every day, every second, every minute, and it never ends. It'll never end. I don't think you understand what eternal is. But I know what my eternal life is, and it's in heaven. I may not get up there close to Him, but I'll be sure thankful that I'm up there. And I thank God for that today. If you're anybody here lost, we beg you to come up here and seek the Lord while we stand and sing. Appreciate it.